Welcome back to Talk Shonen Podcast. My name's Jared.
Welcome back. My name's Todd.
Todd?
What? I'm Todd now.
You're Todd?
I'm Todd.
Hi, now. Welcome back to Talk Shonen. I'm Turtle.
And I'm Jared.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Oh, we're getting sexy with it.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys with us. We're here. You guys hear that you're hearing us.
We see that you're hearing us.
I see time.
I see you. What movie is that from?
I don't know.
That was a big part of it.
Was it like Angels in the Outfield or something? Or Jerry Maguire?
I don't know.
Something weird.
That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Angels in the Outfield.
God, that's a fucking old movie. Actually, today we're going to talk about hopefully two things, but definitely one thing.
Yeah, we meant to talk about two things in another episode.
We meant to cover the Kenobi trailer last time.
Yes.
And then we got really wrapped up in...
Yeah, and Batman.
And Batman. Like, so wrapped up. Like, we were like, well, that was a great episode. See you guys later. And then, like, we stopped filming. We're packing up. And I was like, we never talked about Kenobi.
Yeah. That's how good the Batman was. It made us so forget good. About Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But today, we're not talking about Batman.
Or Angels in the Outfield.
Or Angels in the Outfield. We're covering one of my favorite franchises as a child.
Really?
Really.
Wow, okay.
Monster Rancher.
Monster Rancher.
Now, first of all, one of the things that really hooked me to Monster Rancher was the cartoon.
Yes. I honestly, that was my first introduction into it. I did not know anything about it other than the cartoon.
Yeah. And it was amazing.
It was.
And
it was
the
really,
opening
really well done.
Intro was just slaps. It's just so good.
So good.
Yeah.
As someone who used to rollerblade, like I was very good at it.
Yeah.
I taught kids how to skate. Like I had a downhill racing team. Yeah. I was very good at rollerblading.
Yeah.
And it was very underrepresented for a lot of my childhood.
Not in Monster Rancher. Genki was a fucking rollerblading, monster-smashing hero.
That he was with gold rollerblades.
Yeah. He was actually... Genki was, I think, my first foray into that shonen protagonist.
Yeah.
That, like, you can do anything! Power of friendship!
What's funny is, like... It's a joke now because of how, how frequently it's done. Mm-hmm. But Monster Rancher was an early isekai.
Yeah. Yes. For sure.
He got isekai'd.
I think
just without a bus.
It Monster Rancher was one of the first animated.
Yeah.
Animated versions of that shonen isekai protagonist kind of thing. Now there's been a lot since then, but there were lots of manga. With that before,
yeah, it's a big trope. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, it's a big trope in Western media.
Also, yeah, for sure,
just being taken from one world and brought to another world.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen as much over here because we're all about twisting our own reality into whatever we want
instead of moving to a new one.
Yeah. But in Japan, they're kind of like, nah, fuck that. What if like after you die, you just go to a cooler place,
a new plane? And you're just like, all right, cool. Start.
Or what if you throw in a PlayStation 1 disc?
Yeah, and it sucks you into the world of monsters
because you were so dope at the prequel game that you won a early access one.
That's the whole story. Like you just. Gave the story like
he's in the opening
battle monsters
champion
wins, gets the monster, the second like the release, the early release of the new game, takes it home, gets sucked into the game.
Oh, he's got it some mochi. Yeah.
And rollerblades, boss ass rollerblades.
Such good rollerblades.
He like rollerblades through grass and dirt.
Yes,
I like that we both went there exactly the same. He's like rollerblading through gravel. Even as a kid, I was like,
mountain. He's got rocks around.
I was looking at that. What the hell is this?
I was like, because like once again, I was a rollerblader. I did it. Like I've rollerbladed through grass. It's not easy. You slow down a lot. It's faster to run.
Yeah, that's because Genki's a boss.
Yeah.
So first of all, watch yourself. And then. And he has Mochi and Suezo and Golem and
can we talk about Mochi for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Mochi was my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, he was awesome.
Like not the food. Like the food is okay.
I like the food. I love
Mochi. It's okay. It's not my favorite thing, but it's good. But Mochi the Monster was like my favorite thing ever.
Really?
When I was a kid, I was like, this is the greatest monster that's ever been.
So as soon as he got like Leaf Hurricane, you probably like shit yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. I was like, he is awesome. He'd roll up into a little mochi ball. Yep. He'd bounce around and he was just adorable in every way. He was
adorable.
He was so cute. And everyone's like, Pikachu, Pikachu, Mochi. Mochi. You sleeping on Mochi.
So they confirmed at the end of season three that both Genki and Mochi can move from the monster world and the real world whenever they want.
That's dope.
Yeah, but that was the end of season three, so we never saw it come into fruition.
Yeah, exactly.
But and so like the short story is this group of intrepid monsters and humans.
Two humans. Way more monsters.
Three, four, five it's monsters.
Mochi, Suezo, Tiger, Golem. And hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so five.
Five monsters, two humans.
Yeah.
One goal. Bring back the Phoenix.
Yeah, that was what it was about.
Yeah, that was.
I honestly forgot what the actual storyline was about.
That's only season one, baby. Season one, they have to find the Phoenix to fight the evil forces of Mu. And along the way, do all of the fighting of Mu themselves. Like, they just viciously maim through Mu's forces or almost die in a couple of times.
Yeah.
Until they're like, oh, wow, the Phoenix was in us the whole time.
The whole time.
Except they have to, like, put their soul in the Phoenix's body.
Anime shenanigans.
Yep, anime shenanigans. The Phoenix and Mu fight. Mu, of all people, realizes, like, oh, Mu is, by the way, Holly's dad.
Yeah.
Mu realizes, like, oh, this is, there cannot be good without evil. We will be in conflict forever. And
very,
like,
very Batman Dark Knight ending.
Yeah, and so, like, I forget what happens, but basically they both die.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because it was in them the whole time. So it was part of them died.
Yeah. And, well, they're gone. They, like, shoop into the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Genki gets sucked back to the real world.
Because Isekai.
Because Isekai, yep.
Isekai rules.
Yep. comes back for season two.
Yeah.
To revive his friends somehow, which he does.
What's funny is I've only ever seen season one.
So season two and three did, I believe, did get aired in America, but you have to hunt them down.
Yeah.
They didn't make it to anything mainstream when they came out.
Like,
they
this is Great White Whale anime?
Yeah, for sure. Like, okay. Season one was all over, what's that, TBS or whatever?
Oh, like the
Morning Kids cartoon. Yeah. Season one was all over that. And they
wasn't
just kept
it on WB?
It might have been on WB at some point.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm picturing the WB Kids logo, like the Saturday morning cartoon logo.
I don't remember watching it there, but that doesn't. These cartoons.
They
jump,
were everywhere.
Jump ownership and air schedules and stuff, especially in the heyday of kids' morning cartoons, because then you could just buy the rights for just this Saturday block. You didn't have to buy the rights to the whole cartoon, period.
And you mean, you know, when things were better?
Yeah, when things were better. Yeah, the cartoons were amazing.
No, just everything. Everything was better.
The world in general was I think it up.
Look outside right now.
Oh, okay.
Now, go into your mind.
Okay.
Remember this exact day, but in the 90s. Guaranteed it was better.
Yeah, better. Yep. Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Unless that's something super dark. I'm not going there.
Yeah, let's not go dark.
Let's not. It's Monster Rancher.
This was such a happy show.
Yeah. Which is
even
funny because
everything was trying to murder the main characters.
Yeah, which is funny because the Monster Rancher games, by the way, were my first experience of true
trauma,
loss, and trauma.
Yeah,
because you spend seasons in game, growing a bond
years
with your
and
monsters,
years and years,
battling and great.
I had Monster Rancher 3. Which one did you have?
Oh, I started with 2.
Oh, you started with 2?
Yeah, and my mom had a huge CD collection, so I just blew through this collection trying
to
unlock
monsters.
Let's take
a second, because kids aren't going to understand
this.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. So
Monster Rancher, and this happened a lot in the late 90s, early 2000s, where there were games that understood that they can take advantage of the other discs in the world.
Yeah.
So they would, at points, say, insert
any
disc.
Yeah, any disc.
It just said, a disc, and you can take a CD, can take anything. Well, usually CD, because that's usually the same.
They didn't really have DVDs.
There was no
at the
DVDs
time,
at the time.
Or like Blu-ray or anything
and
like
if
that.
If you tried to fit a laser disc in there, you
the
were dumb.
The word was not good, yeah.
It was, the laser disc was bigger than your whole PlayStation.
And
it would read it.
Yeah, it would read the disc, so you'd open, you'd go to like the monster shrine or whatever.
Yes.
open, it'd be like, okay, open up, and you'd open up the shrine. And
were
open
you it. As anxious at least your first couple times doing it, where you're like, this is gonna turn off my game?
I was like, do I actually open the lid?
Like, you're telling me I gotta take out the game?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, just don't. Am I saved? I'm saved. Okay, yeah. And then just like open it up, pop in a disc. What'd you get? Another Swayzo. And just a million.
Do you know what I always got? The little fucking Easter egg duck that broke into three.
I always wanted golems. I searched. When I say my mom had a CD collection, I mean, my mom had like 2,000 CDs.
Oh, Jesus.
And I went through all of them. Do you know how many golems I got?
All Swayzos? One.
None.
None?
I never.
Dude, I wanted a gray tiger.
Oh, I love gray tigers.
That's what I wanted. That was like in my head.
By the way, gray tigers, which are basically wolves with horns. Yes. They're completely the opposite of tigers.
Yeah. So tiger in the show, he's a blue wolf with horns. There's also a gray one that was his best friend in the show.
Yeah.
Who was kind of evil, but he was just, you know, he was a lancer type. So he was, for sure. He was a lancer.
Yeah, it was like tiger was like the Vegeta of Monster Rancher. He was I'm a bad guy, but I'm going to help you guys because I've got reasons.
Yeah, and his friend was like, I'm a badder guy, but I'm going to help you for a reason.
And I'm going to help you this time, but not all the time, but this time I'm here.
But he was like my favorite because he was so cool looking because he looked like stone. Like he had like little cracks and stuff on him. And I was like, I want that one.
Yeah.
And
never, ever.
I didn't get a single tiger. I didn't get one. Yeah. I didn't get a blue one. I didn't get the stupid green one that looks like a lizard.
I got the lizard one.
Damn one. I was so mad.
I was a big golem fan. I was Easter a big ducks. Fan of golems. And
Golem was cool. He had a great moveset also in the game.
And I loved his like, I'm a giant unstoppable rock man, and I'm a pacifist.
In the show, he was great.
Yeah. And then even the games, they were so much fun, but they're real slow. They were giant rock things. My favorite was the ice golem.
That one was dope.
I did unlock
that one, but I still just kept using my I had a hair.
Okay. You see, hair is your personality type.
Yeah.
Hair is like the like funny asshole, like almost an edgelord, but not quite. Like,
yeah. He's too jolly generally to be an edgelord.
Yeah.
But you're like, if you had a bad day, I can see it.
Yeah, he was definitely like, and he's that trope, that like rat trap trope almost.
Yes, and I think that's why I liked hair in the series so much.
Yeah.
But I had a hair, and I was like, until I get my gray tiger, I'm going to use this hair.
Yeah.
And then I got him up to S tier.
Uh-huh.
And like,
then he died, didn't he? He aged out. That's the trauma I was talking about. They die. You're a monster. By the way, this is a dystopian world where you are just purely a monster breeder.
You're a child.
You're a child that now has a farm, a ranch.
Yeah.
And literally.
And another child works for you.
Yeah. And you breed monsters,
uh-huh.
throw them away like trash, use them up to fight each other in competitions. And then when they get old, you freeze them permanently and use them as stock to breed other monsters.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And along the way. I think this is what fucked me up even more about this game.
Yeah.
How you treated your monster would have different outcomes in what they did.
Yep.
So like I was trying to make the best fighter possible
because
I was a young boy in the 90s or early 2000s. Whenever I was playing this.
You had to treat them like shit to be really good
fighters. You need to always be like, hey, we're going to train now.
Yeah.
You're going to punch this big thing of dominoes.
Yeah.
And you're going to, because he was a hare, so you're punching it.
Yeah.
He was just a crazy sonic punch almost. Yep. And I got to the point where I had the hardest material, and he was punching straight through him. It didn't even fall.
Yeah.
So like, and I would do this every day. I'm like, every day is going to be the same for you.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up. You're going to run. You're going to punch through the dominoes. Yep. You're going to run again. I'm going to give you the treats that you like, but I'm going to make sure that I give you the treats that you like after you do everything that I wanted you to do.
Yeah.
And then you'll go to sleep and guess what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to do this again until the end of the week where I'm going to make you fight and I'm going to get my rank higher.
Yeah.
And they would run away.
Uh-huh.
They would leave and the saddest music would pass. It was so just sad. Flutes and strings,
and then
your other child that owns this ranch with you would just be like, he's not back yet. He must be so sad. And I would just be like, why is this happening? I paid money for this video game. Why is it making me feel like
child this? Jared is like, I have paid for this game. Why is my monster disobeying me?
Yeah. And then I would just, and then when they'd come back, you'd have a week where you'd be like, I'm going to give you nothing but candy.
Yeah, here's you get
candy all week. And then you'd be like, but guess what? Back to it. Because you made me miss 4 weeks.
We're behind schedule. Punch that rock. Yeah,
I'm back down to A tier, and I can't have that because I'm a perfectionist.
You're a monster. See, I was bonded with the monsters. I was made them super happy. We trained. I tried to make them strong in the time we had together. But I never pushed them hard enough to get, like, I'd get to S tier, but, like, it'd only be for, like, a little bit. And it'd be like, oh, they're slowing down. Oh, they're getting older. And then you'd start to see them, like, stop performing as well at task. And you'd be like, God damn it.
Yeah, it was very evident that they were dying.
Yeah, like, legitimately dying.
And you never aged.
No, I went through hundreds of years as this child.
Like, you were Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, I was 13 for 100 seasons.
Yeah,
for 100 full cycles of the season.
Yeah,
where I had so many monsters, so many types, at this massive ranch that could house a bunch of different ones and all this different stuff that you built up over time.
Yeah,
and I was still somehow a 13-year-old with like 5.8 billion yen in the bank, and it was just insane.
Yeah. It was...
Also, I'd like to point out something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pixie should not be as sexy as she is.
That was completely... Yeah, that was completely not called for.
No, like you, hot winged pixie girl. Actually, like more like demon.
Yeah.
Called Pixie. Hot winged demon girl. Get in my stable.
Yeah. Like, I own you now.
I own you. Put on the shackles,
I'm gonna give, Daddy's going to give train you candy, and you're going to be happy, and you're not going to run away. You're going to be a
happy little girl, yeah. Happy little girl in the stable. It was just so weird.
I'm going to make my big rabbit fight for me. You're going to be for other things. There
were too many monsters that were way too anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is definitely throwing some weird vibes.
So you put a pixie next to a golem, and you're like, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on at night?
What are you guys doing? And like just that was a weird part of the game that, like, even as a kid, I was like, I don't think this is right. This has got vibes. I don't
be like, I shouldn't own things that look like humans.
Yeah, like that's it. Yeah, I should not own things that look like humans.
Yeah,
I didn't like the whole like the once as I got older, I was like, I don't like the whole vibes of this game anyway. But there's some shit in that. It's like you're
where it's basically dogfighting.
It's
an entire culture based around dogfighting.
Family friendly Pokemon.
Yeah.
So like you're really legitimately like dogfighting or cockfighting or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you're like, yeah, we train these monsters. We force them into hard work.
Mm-hmm.
We make them do stuff around our ranch.
Yeah.
We feed them potatoes or candy. That was another
thing. You can make them do chores.
Yeah.
I forgot about the chores.
Yep. And then you're like, you can send them into the wilderness to go on adventures to come back with more items and training.
Yep.
And then you send them to fight other monsters.
In a
legit coliseum. Yeah.
Like, not like a stadium.
Yeah.
A coliseum.
Yep. And then it's like, this is okay. Everything's about this is fine.
Yeah. Who sees anything wrong? Yeah,
no one. No one sees anything wrong with this. Digimon, at least, they're like your fucking best friend. Like, you have a partner. Pokemon, at least, they're very animal, except for a couple of the
I don't think Mr. Mime should be allowed in a Pokemon fight.
No, I don't think so.
Like, that just feels like, it feels like you're going to a dog fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of like, this is my friend Tim, and he walks out with a gun.
He just dressed
he's
just up like, some dude, yeah.
And he's like, so I'm stepping in the ring now. Be like, I don't think Tim belongs in there. And why does he have an AR-15?
Why is Tim fighting Mr. Fluffers?
Yeah. Be like, so I think there might be a weight difference. There's no such thing as a weight difference.
Yeah.
He's a Yorkie. He's a Yorkie. And
you're a full-grown man with a rifle.
A rifle? What is that chambered in? Oh, this is
30-06.
It's a 308. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So my Yorkie backs out. No backing out.
It's like he can back out as far as he wants. The 308 has a range of 500 yards with pinpoint accuracy.
I got a scope.
And he's just like, oh God, Mr. Fluffers, no.
And that's what Monster Rancher
And that's
was.
Monster Rancher. That's what it was.
I fought a dragon.
Yeah.
With a rabbit.
Yeah. Yes.
I won.
Yeah. You could beat
them.
Yeah.
In real life.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have been like, if I would have been
the dragon's like
a monster fighter at that time, mm-hmm. where I'm like, this is what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. This is what I train for. I got a dope ass rabbit.
Yeah.
And then I would have gone in that day and mm-hmm. then I've been like, hey, Jared, just so you know, you're fighting the dragon today. I'd have been like, fuck you.
Yeah. First of all, fuck you. Second of all, I'm out. I'm just like,
yeah. I mean, like, me and my rabbit are going to go home. We'll give him some extra candy so he doesn't run away today.
Yeah.
And we're going to be back when we're back.
There's a couple monsters like that. There's some like Galley and like Durahan and stuff that like, they're like humanoid-esque.
Yeah.
But then like also like God tier level magic and stuff. Like, you're like, what the hell is happening?
Now like, this guy was an eyeball I fought yesterday. Yeah. He was an eyeball with a tentacle.
And a tongue.
He was, yeah, exactly. He was a beholder not living up to his potential.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a bunch of those that like you said, like a duck breaking out of an egg and like.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? It's a duck. What's it? What's that around it? It's the rest of its shell. That's like, it.
Well, what can it do? That's it.
It's a duck.
You know what? You got a dinosaur. Oh, that's cool. It's a half a foot tall.
Yeah.
It's a 6-inch dinosaur. Yeah. Yeah. Is it like strong? No. Like its muscles are like its arms are like toothpicks. It's got little beady eyes and tiny little razor teeth. It's like, so what should I do with it? I don't know. Probably use its essence.
Yeah.
To make your rabbit stronger.
He's like, what's that? Oh, it's a gel warrior. Oh, cool. What's it? It shapes into anything it wants, including blades. It'll viciously murder anything you put it against, including but not limited to an ability where it like plunges into them and then explodes from the outside. Yes. And you're like, excuse me? And you're like, now take your little fucking wolf and fight this gel warrior.
You're like, I don't like your tone.
yeah, exactly. The show was so much better than I think the games were. The games were very cold.
Yeah.
And very
it was
strong.
Like we were trying to breed a generation of dog fighters.
Yeah, for serious.
We were like, hey, anything that's not a human, you can own it.
Yeah.
And you can train it to fight other things that aren't human.
Yep.
And you will and make some of money
them,
this way.
Some of them are very close to human, but they're not. So don't worry about disciplining them.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. And like they talk and they're like, especially in the show, it's like they all talk and they're basically all people.
Yeah. With a lot of New York accents.
Yeah, there were a lot of New York accents. You're right.
Everybody was from Brooklyn.
Whoever the voice actors were for that show had basically three accents.
It was the guy who did Joey Wheeler's voice.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, exactly. It was like New York like, accent.
Hey, Yugi. Hey, Gaggy.
It was like gruff monster.
Yeah.
New York accent. And then like. Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Those were the three accents on that show.
Only three.
Except for Genki, who was like Naruto. Just classic.
Basically.
Classic shonen antagonist.
And Suezo did have like a New York accent.
Suezo had a New York accent.
He had a New York accent. He was like an asshole.
He was almost like a Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And he was an asshole. He was a huge asshole. I loved Suezo, though.
And what's funny is I hated him in the show. I was like, you're such an annoying, stupid yellow eyeball. I hate you.
Yeah. I liked him in the show. But I didn't love him in the show.
Yeah.
I loved, like, Tiger and mm-hmm. Golem.
Well, Tiger had so much depth to him.
Oh, yeah.
His one episode where you saw his backstory and mm-hmm. him and mm-hmm. and Stone Tiger.
Yeah.
I wish I remembered that guy's
Other
name.
Other Tiger.
You know, with them, like, mm-hmm. escaping mm-hmm. and running and the fucking thunder and the lightning and the mm-hmm. rain and jumping across the cliff and then having to be left behind. And it's like, there's so much depth.
Yeah.
Like, why is this in this show? This is deep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just most shows.
Yeah, that was the show, though. It was good. I loved the show. Mm-hmm. I really did. The games I enjoyed playing, and I played them a lot, but as I got older, I realized I didn't really like them that much.
Yeah.
Like, not that they were bad games, it's just like, there wasn't a lot of variety. It was a lot of just grinding your monster. And there wasn't, well, you know what I mean. Like grinding them.
That's what I used to call it when I was younger, too. Be like, all right, I got home from school early. No one's around. Time to grind my monster.
I'd get home. I'd grind my monster just so I could get, you know, real satisfaction at victory.
My mom would be like, all right, time to go to sleep. And I'd be like, okay, wait for everybody to fall asleep. And I'd wake up and grind my monster.
I remember when the internet was new. Oh, this is dating us a little bit. When the internet was new.
We're old.
I know. I had a shitty old laptop and dial up internet
mm-hmm.
and I'd fake being sick to stay home from school, jump online, figure out how to find a golem and what CD, how to get one.
through. You're like, what? I have to find a Nickelback CD? How the fuck am I going to get one of those?
Older than that. This is pre-Nickelback,
man.
Oh,
my God. It is pre-Nickelback.
Yeah. This is. I was like in like the beginning of middle school. Nickelback didn't release their first album until eighth grade for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I was in high school when Nickelback came out. I remember
listening to it because I was on a class trip to DC and my friend had it and she let me listen to her Nickelback CD and I was like, this shit slaps.
What was their first
Silver Side Up, I think.
No, what was the first single?
Oh, How You Remind Me.
This is how you remind me.
And by the way, I'm unapologetically loved Nickelback for so many years.
Everybody hates Nickelback, but at the same time, if it comes on,
yeah, you know those words.
You're gonna be like, oh fuck, Nickelback.
This Look, is you can say they're sellouts or whatever you want to say, but man, they have more money than God. Their music is everywhere. You can't watch Spider-Man without thinking about someday their hero can save us.
I'm not gonna lie. That song fucking slaps.
Oh, like, my God. They have some dope. Real slammers. But anyway, let's wrap up because Monster Rancher gets kind of depressing if we go
it
too does. Much into
yeah,
the
if
games.
We go any deeper into yeah, it, it's just going to be sad. It's going to be us talking about which ones died and why God, we let them die.
Oh, yeah. Who we let die or got too old and just wandered off into
I
the
will
woods.
Say I stopped playing the game for a month when my hair was like,
oh, yeah.
You can't fight with it
will,
anymore.
It will legitimately traumatize you. When I got one golem once, the ice golem. Mm-hmm. And when he aged out, I gave up. I would like that Monster Rancher 2. It took me forever. I had a huge ranch. I had all these monsters. My ice golem aged out, and I spent seasons and seasons building a relationship, making him powerful. And then before I could really get to like the end tier kind of stuff, he just started getting weaker and weaker and wandered off into the woods one day. And I was like, fuck this game. I was like, I'm out.
Just, I was done for like a whole, like a straight month.
Yeah.
I'd not play the game. I was like, I'm done with this game.
I think the last time I may have played it was when the ice golem wandered off.
It's truly traumatizing.
I was like, nope.
You're too young to be dealing with.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I didn't have a pet.
I think I was.
Yeah. I didn't have a pet in real life, but I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me I have to go through. Something that people are like you know, like when your pet dies, like there's like a conversation that your parents have to have with you.
No, not from this game. They were just that. Like, he's too old and he's gone now. Eat a dick.
Use his essence.
Yeah,
and use like, his essence.
I tried to talk about it with my mom. I know I was actually younger. I think I was 10 or 11, and I was like, I'm just really sad. My golem, and she was like, oh well, it's a game, Ryan. And I'm like, yeah, I know that.
You're like, this is why I'm going to need therapy when I get older. Yeah, I know.
This is right here. Yep, this is it.
This conversation.
This moment.
Is going to be a whole ass talk with my therapist.
I'm
going to
have a whole hour long conversation about why I don't feel like my feelings are valid. Just like, God, that hits a little close to home.
Yeah.
I just wanted to end this before we got to this point, Jared. Remember when I tried to do that?
Yeah, no, I'm really good at killing a mood. I'm really, really good at that.
All right, so let's cover the Kenobi trailer real quick.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, chills. I really, really like it. I will say, I feel like Tatooine's doing a lot of fucking heavy lifting for the Star Wars
Tatooine
universe.
Tatooine has become a big staple of Star Wars right now.
Tatooine's got the broadest shoulders in the world.
I know Mandalorian goes to a couple different places, but they frequent on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Boba Fett is entirely Tatooine.
It's entirely Tatooine.
And now we're going to have Obi-Wan. And now, keep in mind, they said this is a limited series. So this is basically going to be the Kenobi movie we wanted. Yeah. As a one-shot season.
Yeah.
Maybe if we're lucky, he'll get thrown into some of the other shows as guest appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like a kind of like defeated Obi-Wan in hiding.
He lost.
Yeah, he lost. They lost, like, for sure. And the trailer has the Inquisitors, and I think you were saying something that people were bitching about the Inquisitors not looking right.
Yeah, I saw the video where people were irritated about it. I didn't actually watch the video because I don't give hate a time of day. But people were talking about, like, I guess how the Inquisitor looks, because he looks like a person.
Oh,
because
he's
not
human?
They
cast a human?
Not an eggplant face.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my God. Well, I think they look good. The makeup for them looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this. The setting, everything looks like the
fucking
scenery.
Music.
Yeah.
I was so happy about.
I'm really stoked. I love the idea, like, oh, this is going to be about them trying to draw out Jedi.
Yeah.
And they're good. But what gets me so stoked is like they're gonna try, and eventually they're gonna do it, and they're gonna draw out the wrong fucking Jedi because Obi-Wan is no slouch.
Yeah,
these Inquisitors are supposed to be good.
Grievous.
Yeah, he killed Grievous. He defeated Anakin at the height of his power.
Yeah. Well, technically, Vader's more in tune with the dark side, so Vader's technically, like...
Okay.
Anakin as Vader during the Great Jedi Purge is more powerful than Anakin was at the fall of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But that's just... that's an unactually moment.
Yeah, that's an unactually moment. And also, keep in mind, the amount of force power Vader can draw from is severely hampered by his lack of a... limbs and body.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Anakin himself, at the height of that, really embracing the dark side, had a ton of raw force energy.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan is also a master of Suretsu.
Yeah.
Which is a defensive...
Style 3,
lightsaber style that is almost undefeatable if you're a master of it. Like, there's comments from the masters of the council, like fucking Mace Windu, that are like, oh no, if it was one-on-one, I don't think I could take Obi-Wan. Yeah. He's the best duelist.
Yeah.
So like...
I mean, the only way that you can touch him is if you're a master of style 2.
Yeah.
Which is the one-on-one duelist style, which is Dooku.
Yeah.
Which is why Obi-Wan had such a hard time with Dooku. But
it's also why Obi-Wan and Anakin were so killer together as like Sith hunters.
Yeah.
Because... Obi-Wan could stop him in their tracks, and Anakin could take him out. Like
flipping him around, double lightsaber, chop off their head.
Exactly. Do it. Execute him.
I'm really excited because I do, you know, there's a lot of questions about that time period in between.
Yes.
And there's, you know, the fall of the Jedi and what happened in A New Hope. And this is going to be really good to fill that in, which is like me and my friend Mark have talked about this ad nauseum when we were younger.
Hi, Mark.
I know. Hi, Mark. But yeah, so me and my friend Mark, we were talking about this ad nauseum because we thought that how the prequel trilogy should have been was the Phantom Menace should have been the first half of the first movie.
Okay.
And Attack of the Clones should have been the second half of the first movie.
Yeah.
The third movie should have been the second movie.
Okay.
And the actual third movie, what it should have been was what I think a large portion of this is going to be, which is the Great Jedi Purge.
Yeah,
for which sure. is just it should have been Vader hunting down and systematically executing every single Jedi across the galaxy.
Absolutely.
Just to establish as to why in that opening moment of A New Hope, why when they saw Vader, they were like, done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
Because honestly, until, you know, things get explored more and people really dive into Star Wars, you're like, is Vader really that scary?
Yeah. And so there's a whole thing with like, there's some commentary about like how they talk to each other in A New Hope, Obi-Wan and Vader.
Yeah.
That implies that they meet after he's turned into Vader.
Oh. I would love to see.
So we could potentially, I mean, Anakin, and that's what's his name? Hayden Christensen, whatever, is supposed to be coming back as Vader for this.
And he said that it's a very powerful Vader.
This is Vader, the Vader. This is the Jedi Purge Vader you're talking about.
Yes.
And they could very likely
favorite Vader.
Come to blows a few times. Because the battle on A New Hope is, and even like George Lucas Smith, this is not them at their peak. This is not them trying. This is them basically sparring to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And then it ends with Obi-Wan being like,
I give it.
Yeah, like I know what I'm about. I know
a secret you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I'm really stoked to see.
I like this.
I hope they go with Maul in this too, because Maul, like Clone Wars,
whispers.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much they could do. But Maul and Obi-Wan meet in Rebels, I believe.
Yeah, they meet a few times.
Yeah, but the final conflict between them is in Rebels when Maul uses the same move he used to take out Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan, being the boss he is, sees it, changes his stance, and then murders him in one strike.
It's a really good scene.
And I'd love to see that in live action.
If you haven't seen that scene, watch that scene. It's
please
real
look
good.
It up. But I'd love to see that scene in real life.
Or at least I would like to see another meeting. Another meeting would be really, really dope.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm really liking is the espionage Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
The I'm a hiding in the shadows. I'm a watching all the things that you're doing. And it looks like he's gonna be trying to take pop shots to take out the Inquisitors as they find him.
Well, so this is late enough in the I believe that because Luke is
So this is like 7 years old. 7 years old.
So this is a while into it. So he could, I don't think they ever, do they ever give in canon reasons why the Inquisitors aren't around in the later movies?
Not that I know of.
Me neither. And
I've stopped reading like the books and stuff. Yeah, there's
so much.
There's 50,000 of them. I can't keep up.
I suspect that as far as I know, not canon reason why they're not there.
Yeah.
Past a certain point, that this could be what happens to the Inquisitors. Like, they fuck around and find out. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm hoping for. Because the Inquisitors are like, it's a legitimate threat.
They're Sith light. Like, but they're powerful.
Yeah.
But they're Sith light.
Yeah.
And
but they do have the access to all of the
Empire resources.
Yeah, the Empire resources, but also the records of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
Which had... I mean, a lot of that was like stolen away in the Fall of the Jedi, but some of it still remained where it's like, these are Force sensitive kids.
Yeah.
Go find them.
Yeah.
Like, this is how you find them.
And I really hope this goes like espionage and then it turns into like you crossed a line and now Obi-Wan comes out of hiding. And
are you hoping that Obi-Wan John Wicks the Inquisitors?
Yeah, 100%.
I hope he has a dog. He had a weird camel thing. I hope he has a dog.
Yeah,
I just want to see Obi-Wan with a dog.
I could just see them like that's because you, like even like the Emperor whoever is talking in the over the narration is like there is no way that like Obi-Wan's gonna let them like ice a force sensitive kid.
Yeah, it's not gonna
just
happen.
It's not his nature.
Yeah,
he just can't do it.
Yeah,
so like if they're going to do something, they're gonna do it too close, or they're gonna do it to someone he knows.
Yeah,
and he's gonna be like. Luke seems safe.
I was going to say, yeah, it feels like, because there was a lot of not Tatooine shots in this trailer. Yeah. So I'm like, I really hope. Yeah. I mean, unless it's like, those are the places that Vader's at.
Well, I mean, that's possible.
Unless like Vader is as important of a character.
Can you imagine like a dueling story of like Kenobi and Vader as it progresses?
Basically like Obi-Wan fighting off Inquisitors that are coming to basically find him or Luke.
And Vader murdering Jedi.
Murdering Jedi.
Looking for Obi-Wan.
This would be such a good series.
That would be
if that's
so good.
Case.
I hope it's like that.
That's
we'll see. I'm very hopeful for this. Anything by Filoni and
Favreau.
Favreau, thank you. With Star Wars lately has been just fire.
Yeah.
It's just been good.
Yeah.
And this is the, I mean, I got really angry because they were like, oh, Solo didn't do good, so we're not doing a Kenobi movie. And I was like, no one asked for a fucking Solo movie. We all asked for Kenobi. Maybe that's why it didn't do good. And I liked the Solo movie.
I liked the Solo movie too.
We've talked about this.
I feel like there was more that they could have done.
They could have done a lot more than
I don't think we'll dedicate an episode to
Solo.
Yeah,
we should talk about some of the Star Wars periphery movies.
Yeah.
Solo, Rogue One, like that.
I loved Rogue One.
Rogue One's amazing.
One.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just put them together.
Yeah, we could cover some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that like Solo didn't do well enough, so they canceled the Kenobi.
Yeah.
How does that make sense? How does that make sense?
It's like, something that we didn't ask
for. You have years of people asking for a cheeseburger, and you're like, well, here's this hot dog. And they're like, I don't want a hot dog. And they're like, well, fuck you, no cheeseburger then.
We're never doing a cheeseburger. So you know what we're getting? Sliders.
Sliders, yeah. And that's what this is, just a bunch of sliders.
We're just getting a bunch of sliders.
That's good. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, so am I.
All right, so hey, are you stoked for the Kenobi trailer? Let us know. Hit us up in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out on RumRunnersPodcastNetwork.com, where you can listen to all of our talk show and all of our Dark Rum, all of our Rum Runners, all of our You Have to Watch This podcast.
Mm-hmm, that's one of them.
All of Senpai Kohai.
Yeah, that's another one.
Chungus Cast.
Yep. We have a couple new ones. We have Infinite Universes. We have Norwald's Nightmares. We have Fit Talk with Nick.
Fit Talk with Nick. Nick's definitely check
awesome
out Fit
guy.
Talk with
if
Nick.
Yeah. If you're trying to be healthy, definitely check that out.
Yep.
And if you're in or around the Lehigh Valley, make sure to check out the Lehigh Valley Food Podcast to know exactly where to eat.
Check out our partners, Times Live Radio. Yep, Times Live Radio. Jesus.
Times Live Radio Studios on Facebook. But yeah, follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Talk Shonen. Yep. And until the next time, embrace your fandom, everybody.
And let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.